Matthew 26. A couple of verses here to read, or a little more than a couple, and then I'm going to go into the book of Luke. I'm not going to tell you where we're going until the end, because then you'll know that the end from the beginning. And only God knows that. And the one who does the message. All right, Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. All right, let's shoot over to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, we'll start in verse 39. Luke 22, verse 39. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, my will, not my will, but thine be done. Let me stop a second. You know, I can read that, but I'm inclined to think that it wasn't said that way. I'm inclined to, it was like this. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless. I mean, when you know what he was saying, and then I think there had to be a pause. Not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We're grateful that we have it. We know we have it. We know it's preserved. There are no mistakes in it. There are no deletions, no additions. And so therefore, it's authoritative. I pray that it's authoritative in our lives. That we just don't say that, but that we actually act on that. And that as a result of our salvation in Christ, we realize that this is the book that tells us all about ourselves. It tells us what to do. It tells us what not to do. It gives us the meaning behind what is said in most cases. And it is the complete revelation from you to us. And so I just pray that we will take these things to bless them to our spiritual understanding. We may use them here as we continue on this evening. We pray for anyone, again, as always, without Christ, they might be lost. They don't realize that their salvation is not bought. It's not worked for. It's not merited. You can't pay for it. It's something that occurred in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross through his death, burial, and then, of course, his resurrection. And that we trust him, that he did it all, he paid it all, and receive him as our Savior by faith. So have your way here tonight. There's a lot. There's a lot on our Lord's mind as we've read here. There's probably a lot on our minds as we sit here. A lot on the minds of those who may be watching. And we need to pay attention to what you are telling us through your word here. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So during the latter part of Christ's earthly ministry came a very interesting discourse between the inner of the inner circle of our Lord. So I want you to go back to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And we'll begin reading in verse 35. We'll read down through verse 45. I could summarize this, but it's better you see it so you understand, hopefully, where we're going to go. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and one on the other, left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with all shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. When the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. I would be too, wouldn't you? Who do you guys think you are? And I'm getting carried away. And I lost my place. 43. But Jesus called them to him and saith to them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, James and John have this remarkable request, but actually it came from their mother. In Matthew 20, verse 20 and 21, the mother of James and John made this request. And what was their desire? We want to be first. We want to be under you, of course, but first under you. In other words, me, in place of everything or anyone else, despite what they had seen, despite what they had heard from the Lord, for all the time that they were with him. So in Matthew 27, if you go there, Matthew 27, our Lord is being crucified on the cross. Goes along with the Lord's Supper, obviously. Matthew 27, I want you to read down here in verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and apart my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation, written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Okay? Note among all the other things that were said, the scribes, the Sadducees, and Pharisees saying in verse 42, He saved others, himself he cannot save. And then if we go back to Mark chapter 10, I should have had to hold your place there. Mark chapter 10, and I want to pick up toward the end of that passage. Mark chapter 10, verse 43. In defining the difference between how the Gentiles work and how it works with Christianity, but so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Right? All through his life. And so we can take his, if you want to take his earthly ministry, I think he came before that. He was thinking of others and planning for their welfare and blessing. How did he live? I mean, other than sinlessly. With you in mind. How did he die? For you in mind. Everything he did was with you in mind. His entire life. And death and burial, of course, and resurrection. And so, it was true even unto the last hours of his life. So I want you to look at a few occasions here. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Beginning here in verse 32. Mark 14, verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, that nevertheless not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. The first thing I wanted you to notice here, this was not, he did not say these words to Peter, James, and John in anger, but in sympathy. His sympathetic understanding of the sleeping disciples as he was there praying and understanding only himself what he was about to do. There's no way a human being could understand what he was going to do at all. And so when you read these things, don't read them as though he's angry at them. He understands. They can't figure this out yet. They haven't figured it out yet. All right, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Here's the second one. And we'll begin reading here in verse 47, I believe. Luke 22, 47. Luke 22, oh, I'm sorry, I was looking somewhere else. 22:47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they that were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And what did the Lord do? And Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and elders which were come to him, be come out against as against the thief with sword and staves. And it didn't say there, but in the book of John, it shows that the Lord healed his ear. Put it back on like it never was ripped off in the first place. So Peter's the one that cut his ear off. Good old Peter, very zealous. And the healing of the servant of the high priest here, you find his name in John chapter 18. It was Malchus. What was he concerned about? He's still concerned about other people. Even those who were there to crucify him. In Matthew 26 again. Matthew 26. And I might summarize this one. It's kind of long. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 31. I think I'll be okay. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then said Jesus, saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, you shall deny me thrice. But Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the apostles, disciples, I'm sorry. All right, go over to verse 69, same chapter. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I did not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I look at this as his answer to Peter's zeal and his pride broke him. I mean, totally broke him. All the while, he's being tortured and beaten. On the cross, he continued to be concerned for other people. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, look at verse 34. Luke 23, 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Aren't you glad he said that? I'm in there. I'm one of those. If I was there, I would have done this. I would have been one of those that he would have had to ask, Father, forgive them. And then down here in verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so his concern for a repentant thief. In John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And look here in verse 25. John 19 verse 25. Our Lord's on the cross. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took unto his own home, arranging with John to care for his mother. Do you understand what he's going through? The torture, the pain. In verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished, and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The redemptive work for you, for me, for them, for all mankind, the payment for sin, is paid in full. His blood was shed and made the atonement. It is finished. So, I really have a short message. And basically, as far as we've gone, the life of Jesus Christ is a rebuke to selfish living, any kind of selfish living. It is a total rebuke to me first, to what James and John and their mother wanted for them. You know, put me in the limelight, in the spotlight. So I have some passages to look at what the Word says to you and to me. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I mean, the word may not be used all the time, but look for it anyway. Romans chapter 12, and look at verse 10. Talking to saved people. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Put that in context to our Lord's life. He did that. And since He said for us to do it, that means we can do it and should do it. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Now, the first four verses are basically speaking to pastors. And then he says in verse 5, likewise, the younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. All of us should be subject one to another. We're a family. We're brothers and sisters. Yes, we have an organization as such, but we're really an organism. And that's how it functions. It's supposed to function. Galatians chapter 6. And look at the beginning here in verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We know down in verse 5 that we're to bear our own burdens, but sometimes our own burdens are too heavy. And if we don't have anything to do with one another, you'll never know that somebody is under a burden much too heavy for them to carry and that you could help them carry it. We've got to be involved in other people's lives so that we know what everyone else is doing. Not as a point of gossip, a point of somebody talking quietly in behind the door, but as a point of, listen, there are burdens one person many times cannot bear alone. They need somebody to help them bear it. Even if it's a word of encouragement, even though we may not know exactly what they're going through, but that, hey, you can count on me. Well, I'll help you go through this. I'll see you through this. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. And look down here in verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We know the Lord was not esteemed at all, yet He was concerned for every one of us. And then the first part of verse 5, let this mind be in you, well, which was also in Christ Jesus. So, we're looking at this, and we're talking about the daily routine of life. And he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let's esteem other better than themselves. What is the main cause of disagreements? You think better of yourself than the other one. You're superior to the other one. You know more than the other one, which may be true in some regards, but you're to esteem the other one better than you. And then we have this. Look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others. It's not what somebody should do for you, but what you should do for someone else. And then this verse. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Well, guess what? In 1 Corinthians 2:16, our Lord tells a carnal church, ye have the mind of Christ. That means that when Paul was saying this to those people, the believers in Corinth already had it. You have it. I have it. We have the mind of Christ. What do we need to do? We need to use it. Practice it. And how do we do that? thinking about other people. Let me go one more. Romans chapter 14. Look down here at verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Anybody here living just to himself and died to himself? Probably not. Scripture says it doesn't work that way. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of both dead and living. And then across the page of chapter 15, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So what does the life of Christ tell us? I mean, many, many things, obviously, but one of the things it tells us, that he rebuked selfish living, that had no regard for other people. Excuse me. He had regard for other people. Even up to the end, he had regard for other people. And I just look and I think for myself, I just say, Lord, you need to forgive me for replacing you with me and thinking that I am something better than what I really am. But I also think we all need to do that, because there's a tendency, it's called humanity, it's called flesh, that it thinks that, hey, I'm number one, and number one needs to be served. No, number one needs to serve. I'm not here to be served, I'm here to serve. Christ didn't come to be ministered unto, he came to minister. That's what everything, all of this is about. I think, I pray that the Lord would impress us, all of us, to do to others that which is important to do. It's easy, because we live in the culture we live in, we can go through life living in a neighborhood and never know a neighbor, know nothing about them, their name, if they go to church, who they are, what they are. We can live at work and not really be concerned about anybody, not really know anybody at work, on secular jobs. How are we at all going to have the mind of Christ if that's the way we live our lives? That everything eventually functions around me. And everybody has to draw their attention to me. No, we have to draw our attention to the Lord, and then from there to each other, one another. It's important. He died for us, which means he died for someone other than myself. He died for others. And all of us have somebody else that he died for and rose again from the dead for. So as we look at this, I hope we can see it before we go to the Lord's Supper. Our Lord went through some of the most miserable tortures known to mankind. And yet all the while, he was focused on others. His sin was going to be imputed to him. My sin, your sin, everybody's sin. And yet he was concerned for little things. The repentant thief, the high priest's ear, his mother, all mankind. It shows you the baselessness of James and John, their mother's request, oh, put us in the limelight. And you can see so many places where people want to have all the attention, all the glory, all the accolades, when in fact they should be doing just the opposite and heaping whatever we can on other people, which is, to me, what our Lord gave us by an example, among other things. Not the sum total, but among other things. So let's pray. Our Father, we are here tonight because of you. We're here tonight because we are sinners saved by grace. We didn't work our way to be saved. We trusted the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as our Savior. We have, as I said in the beginning, you've given us a complete book chronicling everything that we need to know. And in that book, you told us all about what we need to know about the earthly life of our Lord and Savior. Not much up until 12 years old, and then nothing until an adult. But the entire adult life was concerned with other people. He had no home to speak of. There was no job. And yet he went everywhere concerned about other people. Today that would be laughed at. But maybe we should sit back and look at that again. Not that we would do the same necessarily, but we can have jobs and we can have homes and we can be concerned about other people. There ought to be ways that we can not only reach them, the lost, but reach those who are in different places than we are spiritually and raise them up and help them. There's no one here, myself included, that's better than anyone else. The plane is very level. Sinners saved by grace. Brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be looking out for one another, caring for one another, loving one another. It's part of the result of what the Lord did for us as it pertains to the Christian life. So I just pray that you'd work upon our heart as we go to observe the symbol of his body and the symbol of his blood, what it cost him, and all the while with us on his mind. So I pray that you would just be with us during this brief invitation, and if anyone comes, we'll pray, and then we'll go ahead and start. For we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.